In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Those are the first five verses of Genesis chapter 1. So, right at the start of the Bible, we have darkness. Then God created light. Well, God needs to get his priorities in order. He hasn't even made the sea, the land, the sky, or any other creatures yet, but according to this account, the first thing he does is create light, which shows just how vital that is in a world where being able to see things is so important. Well, I guess Braille hasn't been invented yet. He doesn't give us perpetual daylight, though. In the creation story, evening and morning are mentioned many times. Important markers for each new day. And a little later, there is more about day and night. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let there be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. Verses 14 to 19. Don't worry, I'm not just going to spend the whole sermon reading from Genesis. That's it now. So light and darkness have always been important. And personally, I think darkness gets a bit of a bad press. We need it in order to sleep properly so that we stay healthy. Those of us who suffer with migraines often find that light hurts our eyes and darkness is very soothing. Darkness also allows people to see things that may not be obvious in daylight. I can see candles and other light sources in a darker room where I wouldn't be able to outside on a sunny day. Can't see anything else much, but there we go. And what about the wise men who saw the star that led them to Jesus? They'd never have noticed that if it wasn't dark enough to see the moon and stars. When talking to people about the topic of today's service, most said they didn't know much about candle mass. Perhaps, though, you will have deduced that candles are involved somehow. So, let's think about candles. What do we use them for? This is your turn now. What do we use candles for? Hello? You must know. I don't believe anyone who says they've never had a candle in their house or anywhere. There's one in here for a start. Birthdays. Yes. Yes. What else?
Processions.
Processions. Yes.
Nice costumes.
atmosphere, focusing on that central source of light in the middle of the table, rather than being dazzled by bright artificial light. Candles on cakes make birthdays extra special. I'm pretty rubbish at blowing out all the candles in one go, so I haven't made a birthday wish in years, but from my research, it seems that the smoke from the candles symbolises prayers or wishes going up to heaven. So maybe a birthday wish is a prayer, whether the wisher knows it or not. In church, candles symbolise Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Christ, our constant companion, who is always there beside us. Perhaps he's like those trip candles that relight themselves after they've been blown out. It's probably just as well we don't use those in church. There are other types of light in the darkness. Bonfires, campfires, fireworks, and sparklers. Focusing on such things at night time really emphasises the light source and changes the atmosphere. Have you ever sat round a campfire singing songs together, perhaps toasting marshmallows or enjoying a hot drink? There's something quite special about evenings like that, which make them memorable many years later. In the past, I've attended Easter vigil services that start outside the church or cathedral. The dawn services were the most exciting, a bit like that feeling of being a child on Christmas morning. We all went into the garden in the dark so that the priest could light a fire, and the Easter candle was lit from it. We went back into the church, each carrying a candle. And while the priest sang and we responded, all our candles were lit from the Easter candle, gradually making the church brighter and brighter. Then there were various readings and psalms before we all went to the front of the church to proclaim Christ's resurrection. Then the lights were all switched on, the organ was played, and we all rang bells really loudly and blew out the candles, and continued the service, climaxing with the Easter communion. Before all that noise and light, though, during the readings and psalms, there was a reverent and prayerful atmosphere, and I believe it was mainly because of our candles lighting the darkness. It changed the way people read and the way the psalms were sung. Our focus was different. There were no distractions. We were there to worship and nothing else. Many years ago, I took part in Good Friday services, which were the other way around. After each reading from the story of the crucifixion, a candle was extinguished, and we sung a meditative chant, until, by the end, the church was in total darkness. Just as well they had someone to sing the final solo who could read in the dark. Who could that have been, I wonder? Again, there was a reverent and prayerful atmosphere I've not experienced at other Good Friday services. Of course, you do have to hold such a service in the evening. Otherwise, there's too much light surrounding you. So, while darkness is often associated with sin and wickedness, perhaps because people can get away with things in the dark without being seen, we sometimes need it in order to focus on the lights that are important. Night and day are wonderful things because they give us a new start over and over again. I don't know about you, but I certainly presentation of Christ or our Lord at the temple, or the Holy Encounter. As we heard in our Gospel reading, Mary and Joseph went with Jesus to the temple. A woman had to wait 40 days after giving birth to a son to be purified before she was allowed to resume worshipping there. And they presented Jesus, their firstborn son, to be consecrated to the Lord. Then we hear about their meeting with Simeon and Anna. The first part of Simeon's words have been used on a daily basis as part of evensong and compline services by Christians throughout the centuries, and have been set to music by numerous composers. They are special because Simeon recognizes that he has seen the Lord's salvation, that Christ was the Messiah who came to be a light, to lighten the Gentiles, which means anyone who isn't Jewish. So not just the chosen race, but a light for everyone in all the nations. That includes you. It includes me. The next part, where Simeon talks about Jesus being destined to cause the rising and falling of many in Israel, and tells Mary that a sword will pierce her soul, is less well known, because it isn't part of those daily prayers. Then Anna, a devout worshipper, spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem, as it says in the Bible. I wish some of her words had been recorded. So we have two proclamations of Jesus as the one who has come to redeem everyone in Jerusalem and beyond, but sandwiched in between them is Simeon's warning, a sobering moment on such a joyful occasion. This is why Candlemas can be seen as a time to look back at Christmas and forward to the reflectiveness of Lent, the grief of Good Friday, and the hope of the resurrection at Easter. At the Easter Vigil services I mentioned earlier, we sang about the light of Christ as the candles were lit. Our candles are a symbol of Christ, the light of the world. And traditionally, at Candlemas, people brought their candles to church to be blessed. And there would be candle-lit processions. There we go, we've got the processions in. It was the last day of ancient Christmas. So if you haven't put all your decorations away yet, you're in good company with Christians down the centuries. Taking down the decorations by the 6th of January is relatively modern. Continuing the celebrations until Candlemas, when it's usually very cold and the days are still quite short, sounds an excellent idea to me. Nowadays, it's the other way round, with Christmas starting earlier, and suddenly finishing after December the 25th. The 2nd of February, the official date of Candlemas, is halfway between the winter solstice, the shortest day, and the spring equinox, where the days and nights are the same length. Far less depressing to finish Christmas when the days are getting longer, the birds are starting to sing, and there's more sunshine. Although it's a few days early, today we celebrate those two devout older people, Simeon and Anna, seeing Jesus and acknowledging who he was. And we celebrate Christ, the light of the world, who kindles a flame in us, setting our hearts on fire so we can share that light with everyone we meet in acts of care and which will then be given out during the hymn. I love lit candles, but I wanted this service to be remembered for the right reasons, and not because someone set their hair on fire. Possibly me. As they are electric, we can't light them from one large candle symbolising the light of Christ. But please remember that image from the Easter services I attended, powerfully showing how the light of Christ can be passed to us and then on to others. Praying with a candle is a meditative experience. If you're in a darkened room, looking at its flame, perhaps it will help you to be more focused on what you are praying about. Maybe it will serve as a reminder that Christ is the light of the world, however dark things may seem, a visible symbol of hope. So please take your light home to use as a prayer candle that won't set the house on fire. Or switch it on for a while if you find its light comforting, perhaps while thinking about someone who is ill or going through a bad time, or a situation in your community or another part of the world, or something in your own life that you'd like to hold before God. I'm going to end this sermon by reading Simeon's prayer that has been recited over and over again for so many centuries. This is the version from the Book of Common Prayer with the lovely old poetic language, followed by the Gloria, as it would be during evensong, evening prayer or compline. Nunc Dimittis is its Latin name, and what it's commonly known as, because those words mean now let depart. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light, to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without